As was announced, the scripture reading this evening will be coming from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Again, that's Matthew 9, 35 to 38. I'll be reading the New King James Version. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest."
Good to be here tonight. We appreciate everyone's presence, as we always do. We're going to continue our lesson from this morning. If you weren't here, we started talking about why some refuse to obey the gospel. And one of the things that we need to emphasize is that God, He is a loving God. There's no doubt about it. We know that we are saved by grace. We're saved because of the mercy and the love and the long-suffering of our Heavenly Father. But there is no question but that He demands obedience. And as we said this morning, that is true with regard to one's initial response to the gospel of Christ. Following those instructions of the gospel, the hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, that's how a person becomes a child of God. But then also walking in the light after that, continuing to be faithful unto death, Revelation 2 and at verse 10 is critical if we're going to go to heaven. You have to not only begin the race of Christianity, but you have to finish it. And yet we find that there are many people who just refuse to obey God. First, those who refuse to obey the gospel in the first place. And then those who refuse to walk worthy of their vocation after that. And we looked at three things this morning, three areas, three things that might prevent individuals from doing that. Pride certainly is front and center sometimes when someone decides he is not going to obey God. We have the example of Pharaoh that we gave this morning. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? That was his mentality. He just decided, I don't know the Lord, so I'm not going to let his people go. I'm not going to obey him. And there are many other examples of that, but pride, that his attitude was one of arrogance and, of course, one of ignorance as well. And then there is pleasure. And a lot of people allow the pleasures of this world, earthly pleasures, to stop them from obeying the gospel of Christ or from continuing to be faithful. And we need to learn from folks like Solomon. As we saw this morning, he had all of the resources possible at his fingertips. He was powerful. He was the king, of course. He had clout, authority, power, and prestige. He had all of the money in the world, so to speak. And yet, after he did everything he could to fulfill his life with earthly pleasure, his attitude was, it's like chasing the wind. It is all vanity. It simply doesn't satisfy or bring lasting joy. And so we have to learn from that. Certainly obeying the gospel of Christ and putting ourselves in the position to go to heaven after a while is far better than pleasure that lasts only for a season. And then there's people. And a lot of people won't do what God wants them to do because they let people interfere. It might be people that they're worried about what they might say or what they might think. Or it might be people that might persecute them if they do what's right, so they're worried about what people will do. Or, as we saw this morning, it might be people in the church who are living hypocritical lives. And so they either leave the faith or they won't obey the gospel. I remember when I was preaching at a particular place, we had a couple of members who weren't acting right. And it was literally said by a few in the community, I will never, ever go to that congregation as long as those two people are there. And that was their attitude. And so that's a terrible attitude to have. And I feel sorry and fearful, I should say, for the ones, the Christians or so-called Christians, who aren't acting right and living right. We don't want to be in that position. You don't want to be the kind of church member that other people will look at and say, if they're members of the church, I don't want anything to do with that church. You don't want to be that kind of member. But the fact of the matter is, you shouldn't let anyone stop you from obeying the gospel of Christ. There are hypocrites in the church. There are people who are wishy-washy in the church. There are people who have a lack of faith in the church. The church is just made up of people, and people with faults and flaws. Just because someone might not be what he or she seems to be or claims to be, don't let that prevent you from obeying the gospel of Christ or leaving the faith at any time. And so people sometimes will cause people to refuse to obey the gospel. Now, let's look at two simple things, once again, and try not to take too much of your time, but two more things. The past sometimes will cause people to refuse to obey the gospel. And to think about this, let's turn over in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. And you might recall what Paul had to say about the past. Philippians, the third chapter. And let's begin our reading at verse 12. Philippians chapter 3 and at verse 12. Paul writes, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but he says, I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I forget about those things that are behind. But it's those things that are behind, ladies and gentlemen, that causes a lot of people not to obey the gospel or sometimes to go back to the world after they obey the gospel. I've said many times before that most people who obey the gospel of Christ don't make it. The truth is, those of you who are Christians and you are here and you are faithful, you are a part of the minority. Because most people just don't continue to be faithful. I don't know what the statistics are with regard to that. I've never done any kind of scientific survey about it or even read one. But the fact of the matter is, the numbers don't look good. When it comes down to people who obey the gospel and remain faithful the rest of their life and die faithfully to the Lord, most people simply don't. And the reason for that is that the world is just so alluring. Satan and sin personified, is they're constantly trying to get us back once we're set free from them. And the world is very attractive to a lot of people. I remember, I may have told you this before, but I remember when I was studying with a young man. His name happened to be Wright. Calvin Wright was his name. He had grown up a Catholic. He was a Catholic most of his life. And I got into a study with him. And I realized that I really thought that he would not obey the gospel, because when we were studying, he said in one of the lessons, he said, Don, let me get this straight. If I obey the gospel, I will never again be able to fornicate or drink alcohol. Is that what you're telling me? I said, that's exactly what I'm telling you. But after that class, I thought, no, he's never going to obey the gospel. But he did. But the world kept calling him. And eventually, he went back to the world. And he's not alone with regard to that. It's impressive when you stop and think about Paul. Paul gave up something that was lucrative for him. He counted all things but loss, even those things that were gained. We're talking about Judaism. He was climbing up that religious ladder. And he was somebody within that religion. And he was developing more clout all the time. He was more faithful and dedicated than most of his peers. But he gave all of that up. And you stop and think about it. Paul, in the midst, as he was serving Christ, we know all the things Paul had to go through. Like he was beaten with rods. He was stoned on I believe, 3 occasions. He was whipped. He was shipwrecked. He was forced to fast. He was constantly running from false brethren. I mean, his life was one of trials and tribulation. He was constantly being persecuted. And he tells us himself, beside all of that, he had all the cares of the churches because he was an apostle. And don't you know that a lot of people in his condition, in his situation, and experiencing those kind of things, they would just think about the past. I could put a stop, he could have said, to all of this persecution, all of these problems and all of this pain. I could walk away from. All I have to do is go back to my past. Go back to Judaism. And I would be a hero again among my people. But he never did that. Why? Because he purposely forgot about those things that were behind. He spent his time pressing towards what was ahead of him. He made sure that he lived in the present, not the past. And he had his eye on the future, that is being with Christ and living with Christ for eternity. And that's what it takes. If you're not going to be one of these people who allow the past to cause you either never to obey the gospel or to go back to the world after you do, you have to continue looking forward. Press toward the goal. Remember, as we have pointed out many times in verse 14, that is in the Greek as a present tense. What Paul is really saying is, I keep on pressing. It wasn't something Paul did every once in a while. He did it every single day, every week, every month, all the years that passed by. He lived his life pressing toward the goal. So the past never got in his way. What about you? We can't live in the past. And there are other things with regard to the past that give us a problem. You know what Paul also, and I don't think this is what he meant specifically in Philippians chapter 3, but I know it's true, that he didn't allow his past success to slow him down either. And that's important. Paul was hugely successful, as you know. He had established local congregations in several places. He had literally helped the Lord win hundreds of people to Christ. He had all kinds of things that if he was the kind of person to do it, he could have bragged and boasted about. And he could have said, you know, I've done all of this work for the Lord. I've been laboring, and yes, I've been persecuted, and I have suffered my share. I'm going to quit. It's time to let the young people start doing more. Let all the other apostles do the work. I've done my share. I've been successful in the past, and now it's time for me to rest. But that wasn't Paul. All the way to the end, he ran the course. He continued to press toward the goal, even after all that he had accomplished. What about you? Are you a retired Christian? There's really no such thing. If you are retired, you've quit being a Christian. We have to work till the end. until Jesus comes back or death overtakes us, we have to continue to press, continue to walk worthy of our vocation, continue to walk in the light and let our light shine, continue working in the vineyard of the Lord. Don't look at what you have accomplished and pat yourself on the back and quit and say it's time for other people to do it. That's the wrong attitude to have with regard to the past. And I'll tell you one more thing about the past, and then we'll look at a final point. There's some people who won't obey the gospel because of how they have lived in the past. And I know this for a fact. I've talked with people who wouldn't obey the gospel of Christ because they think that their past was so sinful, so horrific, that God would not forgive them. But I want you to know right now, if you're thinking that, you're dead wrong about that. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter how numerous your sins may be. It doesn't matter how horrific they are. You maybe have lived a terrible life from a moral and physical standpoint. God will forgive you just like that. He'll forgive you when you obey the gospel. The blood of Christ will wash away all of your sins. It doesn't matter what kind of sins they are. It doesn't matter how many they are. God will forgive you. He wants to save you. That's the love of God. We know that just because of the nature of the gospel. God came up with the gospel plan, His scheme of redemption, a plan that is based primarily on faith and on grace. Why? Paul said once, so that he could be sure that the promise could be achieved by all of the seed. In other words, he wanted everyone to be saved. Peter tells us in another place, he wants all men to come to repentance. Why? Because God wants to save everyone. There's never been a person that God does not want to save, and He certainly wants to save you. And it doesn't matter what you have done or how long you have done it. Don't feel like your past is so bad God will not forgive you. Many people do that. Many people have done that. Many people have died in their sin because of that. And it's a shame because it's simply not true. So don't let the past stop you from obeying the gospel. And then one more thing very quickly, and that is the price. There's some people, they won't obey the gospel because it simply costs too much. They're not willing to pay the price. And let me tell you, there is no question but that there is a price for you to pay. We are not going to deny that. I will never be the kind of preacher that will tell you anything you want to hear just to get you into the water. No, there's a sacrifice involved in becoming a Christian. There are some sacrifices that you have to make. You remember in Luke chapter 14, turn your Bibles over there just for a moment. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus himself talks about this. Luke, the 14th chapter, and beginning at verse 25, listen at this. The Bible says, now, great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and he said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And of course, you recognize that when he talks about love there and the idea of hating your father and mother, he's talking about loving less. We know that because of the overall teaching of the Scripture. The fact of the matter is, you can't put anybody or anything before God and think you're going to go to heaven. You have to be willing to sacrifice. And so he goes on to say at verse 27, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish"? Or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. And so therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the cost of discipleship. You have to be willing to renounce all that you have. And as I've said, that doesn't mean literally you have to give up all of your possessions and everything that you own to be a Christian. That's not what that's teaching. But it is teaching that there shouldn't be anything in your possession that you will not give up. There shouldn't be one thing in your life that you will not renounce if it is hindering your relationship with God. Oh, that's a sacrifice. That's a high cost. Yes, it is. There's a high cost to being a Christian. I want every person who is contemplating obeying the gospel to consider that before you do. Because there's no doubt about it. But listen to me. The fact of the matter is, as high as the cost is to obeying the gospel, the cost is even higher to not obey the gospel. You're going to have to pay a higher price for not obeying the gospel than you ever will obeying the gospel. And when you have to pay that cost later, it's going to be a lot worse. Remember the old Fram oil filter commercial back in the 70s? You can pay me now or you can pay me later. And that's a fact. You're going to have to pay the price either up front or later. But if you have to pay later, it's going to cost you a whole lot more, just like that broken down car. You could pay $4 or whatever it is, $8 for a little air oil filter. Or you can pay for replacing the engine. Yeah, but the smart thing is to pay now. What is the cost? You can pay the cost for Christianity right now. Obey the gospel. Be willing to sacrifice for God. Put him first. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." That's not something, again, you pat yourself on the back for if you do that. That's what God demands. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's the cost of being a disciple. You could pay that, or you can pay the terrible price of suffering throughout all eternity in a devil's hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of outer darkness. That's the price that you will pay later. Will you obey the gospel? Some people just won't do it. The Bible says that if you're going to be a Christian, you have to repent. We talked about that this morning. But that means having a change of heart. Make it up in your mind. You're going to quit sinning. You willing to do that? Some look at their life and they conclude, "I'm not going to give this up. No, I'm not going to give that up. I'll do all of these things, but I'm not going to do that." They're not willing to pay the price. There's something in your life stopping you from obeying the gospel of Christ because you just want to keep on doing it. Do you think really at the end of the day it's worth it? It might bring you some of that pleasure we talked about this morning. But remember, it's only temporary. Count the cost, but only count the cost. Be willing to pay the price and become a child of God. The price isn't that high. There's sacrifice involved. But the wonderful thing is there are untold blessings that go along with it. All spiritual blessings are in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1 at verse 3. Read that entire chapter. I may preach on it soon. That means I might preach on it next week. But you go down Ephesians chapter 1 and look at all the things that are promised to us, all the things that God has done and continues to do for us, all the things that Jesus does for us, even the Holy Spirit working on our behalf. They're all spiritual blessings that we enjoy. Yes, we have to give some things up. We have to sacrifice some things. We may have to suffer once in a while. We can't go through life doing everything and anything we want to do. But it's worth it. Those are the blessings that we have now and the joy of heaven after a while. Don't let the price you have to pay stop you from obeying the gospel. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? Maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel, but you're here tonight. Maybe you're contemplating it. Listen, that was a short list. Five things. I understand, ladies and gentlemen, you may not obey the gospel. You may not have obeyed the gospel, but it may not have anything to do with any of those five things. There's a lot of things. There's too many things for me to talk about that might stop you from obeying the gospel. But whatever it is, it's not worth it. The best decision you could ever make is to obey the gospel this very night. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do something about it. You believe that He is Lord? I've said many times, Jesus is Lord. God has made that same Jesus who was crucified both Lord and Christ. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter if you accept Him as your Lord or not. He's still Lord. But it's only going to help you. He's only going to help you if you accept Him as your Lord. You can do that tonight. Repent and be baptized. And Jesus Christ will become your Savior. All your sins will be washed away by His blood, and you'll become a child of God. If you have and you've gone along with the majority and drifted back to the world, the wonderful thing is God is a God of second chances. He'll let you come back. All you have to do is repent. Ask Him for forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive you. But do what is right. Don't let anything hold you back. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.